And I think we should recognize we have so much to be thankful for. I've got a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Martin, in just a moment, there's a song I think I want us to sing. But I do feel like when we've come through special meetings, can you imagine how much it cost for all those people to come from America? And how much they love us that they are willing to come. And I heard from Pastor JB this afternoon. He texted me. He and Susan are safely back in America. I heard from Nicole, and the team was in Paris, France, waiting for their next flight. So they're not back yet, but they're on their way, their final leg of the journey. And I met with them before they left. What is today, Thursday? They left Wednesday. It's today Wednesday. They left Tuesday evening. And they had such a wonderful time. They really, really enjoyed being here, had wonderful things to say about our home, of course. Our home, do you realize how much people love you? They do so much. And wonderful things to say about the church. Wonderful things to say about the youth. Wonderful things to say about Vacation Bible School. And, I think it was a life-changing trip for them as well as for us. So isn't it wonderful to have people that love you and they want to see us do well and prosper and be a light in the nation of Kenya and Africa? So it was a wonderful, wonderful trip. And worship team, I so enjoyed the praise and worship that you led us in. You know, I can truly say there is such a sweet, sweet spirit on the praise and worship. Do you recognize that? And I know I told you something funny about the early days of praise and worship, you know, where I was in charge of it. Of course, I did not lead the singing, but anyway, to try to put a worship team together. Oh, we were challenged. See, you don't just want to sing, you want to move into the presence of God and have the Holy Spirit feel like, oh, this is wonderful. And He pours out His Spirit on us. It is life-changing to be in that kind of praise and worship. And so I felt tonight that we should, you know, just let's address thankfulness a little bit. Because one of the greatest sins we can be guilty of is to be unthankful for the blessings of God. In fact, let me tell you, you will be defeated in your Christian life if you do not develop heartfelt thankfulness and take time every day, even if you've kind of had a challenging day, but to take time every single day to say, Father, I'm so thankful. And just begin listing and thanking Him truly from your heart. And so in everything, every day and everything, I'm looking for a reason to be thankful. I'm expecting God to work. And then he looks at us and says, well, do they recognize that I'm with them? Do they recognize that I'm helping them? Do they recognize that I'm giving them wisdom and knowledge and blessings and I'm giving them my goodness. How many of you would agree the Lord is good? I mean, the Lord is good. Now, you may have some situation that you're dealing with, but that doesn't change God. Our situations do not change God. I can say all day long, the Lord is good. And what follows that? His mercy endures forever. So if I need mercy, I know the Lord is going to let me walk in His mercy. And so it was in my heart tonight that we should especially be thankful for many reasons, but focusing on the last 10, 11 days that we've had where that took so much planning, so much effort, money, a lot of money, thousands and thousands of dollars, but they loved us enough to come and pour out the Lord's goodness upon us. I just want to mention a few things. You can teach a 25-part series on Thanksgiving and then say, well, I've got 25 more parts to teach. I mean, it's just never ending as the Lord just keeps unfolding understanding. But what is Thanksgiving? We hear that word, but sometimes it's just good to look. What does the word Thanksgiving mean? And do you know it means to acknowledge that God is the giver of everything good? All good things come from God. And to be thankful is to stop and say, Lord, I acknowledge every blessing comes from you. I acknowledge this is not me that has caused all these blessings to come. It is you who is good and who blesses me. So to be thankful means we acknowledge. We acknowledge God. To be thankful means to show honor. We show honor to God. Of course, we honor Pastor JB and Susan and the team for coming. We walk in double honor toward those who labor in ministry. But the highest honor definitely goes to God. Hallelujah. And Thanksgiving, see, when you're thankful, you begin to enjoy intimacy. Thanksgiving has to do with intimacy. He's told us to be thankful. And do you know if we will lift our hearts in thanksgiving to Him, He draws near to us in intimacy. Oh, there's nothing like that. And then thanksgiving means to enter. We enter God's presence with thanksgiving. Church, never forget that. If you lose the sense of the presence of God, or you're in a challenge or a situation, you need God. You need God to comfort you. You need God in so many, many ways. Just begin to lift up thanksgiving. And thanksgiving means we enter His presence where everything we need is found. All that we need is found in the presence of God. And then, so thanksgiving, we come to places in the Spirit that are intimate. We draw near to God and we enter into intimacy. So church, we can stop and thank God from the time we get up. Father, thank you Thank you for this day. Thank you for your presence, your strength, your provision. And you just start the day with thanksgiving and end the day with thanksgiving. It leads to intimacy. Now, here's the song. Do we remember the song, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart? Let's sing that song. And church, I want to invite you to stand and let's place the last 11 days, 10 or 11 days that the guests were with us. And so another thing about Thanksgiving, you can be general in offering Thanksgiving, or you can be specific in offering Thanksgiving. And I specifically felt we were to acknowledge and offer Thanksgiving for the blessings of the last 10 days. Would you sing with all your heart? In the name of Jesus, we're so thankful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for raising up Agape Faith Church. Thank you that they are our friends and brothers and sisters in ministry. We're so thankful for these relationships, Father. Thank you for the good work that they did in our midst. And Father, we take up this good work and we say, Father, help us grow in the power of God, in wisdom and revelation, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for all of the hearts that are lifted up in thanksgiving this evening. And I pray for each one in my presence that notable growth will occur. Notable spiritual changes will occur. We will go from glory to glory in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give you all the praise, all the thanksgiving, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord. I want to make a few remarks about our expectations, and I want to, sometimes we have a meeting, and it's just not too long till we've forgotten that meeting, and you say, oh yeah, that was a good meeting. Well, what did they preach? Well, I can't remember. What? Oh yeah. If I say, what did they preach? You would say, oh, it was powerful. It was powerful. Yes, but tell me what they preached. Well, it was very good. And so, really, church, you have to intentionally lay hold of the Word of God, the instruction of the Holy Spirit, because what does the Word say about our enemy? He comes immediately to steal the word from our heart, and we forget. It comes our way, and we're excited in the moment, and then it goes, it floats away from us. And because we don't meditate on it, thank God for it, meditate on it some more, ask God, how do I apply what I heard to my own life? Because see, when the word comes, it's meant to change us. It's meant to edify us. It's meant to instruct us. And so we don't want to be the kind of hearer that it goes in one ear and out the other. May I hear an amen? But we receive the word of God and we will put it to work. Hallelujah. So, when you have meetings like we've just had, notice, pay attention. This should happen every time we meet, but even more so with special meetings, that these meetings and every meeting calls us to desire more of God. No meeting is successful if you come out of it and your desire for God is not there. A Holy Spirit meeting should really make our hearts so grateful, and then we pray, Lord, I want more of you. I want to walk in what I heard. I want to walk in the instruction that was given. I want the blessings I observed to become a part of my life. Do you know, one day, there are those of you who are sitting here who are young today, but you will walk in greater and greater things, but you have to desire it. You have to lay hold of it and desire to walk in greater things. Church, I'm not satisfied with where I am. I desire to walk in greater things. So anytime we have a meeting, have an expectation that God wants to work in the desires of your heart. So let me tell you one thing to be thankful for is, Father, thank you for enlarging my desires. Thank you for enlarging the desires of my heart. Maybe you could say, thank you for refining my desires. When our desires are refined, the things of the world and the flesh are removed, and desire for God increases. Expect that. Expect that from these meetings. Understand this. God is preparing us for a new cycle of divine favor, powerful transformation. See, when the word comes, God is preparing us for more of his favor. He is preparing us for divine transformation. So a meeting is a failure, at least on your behalf, if you do not lift up your desires before God and say, Lord, I thank you that my desires are for you are increasing. My desire for the things of God is increasing. Father, refine the desires of my heart. Refine them. Purify them. May the desire for the things of God be enlarged, but may the love of this world, the lust for other things, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, may that be refined out of my desires. Church, does that make sense? Because you can have strong fleshly desires that will not lead you in the way you should go. And it can become habitual to fulfill. Your heart gets more and more full of fleshly desires, and the desires of God are squeezed and restricted. Does that make sense? Because the desires of the flesh are so strong. But when you've been in the presence of the Word and in the presence of the Holy Spirit, our desires are refined. We've heard from God. We've seen God demonstrated. We participated in great praise and worship, many prayers. We've heard wonderful things from the Scriptures. And this, if our hearts are open, refine the desires of our heart. And that could be a prayer. So let me pray over each one of us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift our hearts before you. And we pray that the desires for God, for your holy word, for the presence of the Holy Spirit would grow and grow and increase in the name of Jesus. And that the desires of our hearts would be refined, so that the desires of this world and the lust for other things, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life would be refined out of my heart, and that the love of God would possess our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Everyone says, Amen. So you don't walk away from the word and you don't say, that's done, that's dusted, that's over, that's in the past. Oh no. Oh no, it's not done and dusted, and it's not over, and it's not in the past. The word of God is eternal. And that word has been deposited in our hearts, church. And now it's our part to thankfully pray, Father, may this word I've heard be formed in my heart. May this word I've heard be formed in my heart. Church, can you say amen? Amen. When the word is formed in your heart, you've not just heard it, but now you lift that word up in thanksgiving and you say, Father, I've heard wonderful things. Form them in my heart. Change the desires of my heart. And you work with God in prayer over what you've heard, then that word is planted in your heart and it will grow and has the potential to bear much fruit. You can bear much fruit. Hallelujah. But you have to not only receive the word, but keep the word. One of the ways we keep the word is say, Father, thank you for all that was ministered. I place a guard over my heart. I don't want the enemy to come and steal the word from my heart. Church, it's possible to be what the Bible calls a forgetful hearer. We're cautioned about that in Scripture. Don't be a forgetful hearer. And one of the ways that keeps you from forgetting is offering thanksgiving and visit that word and visit that word. How many of you know what Pastor JB said on Sunday? Three things that we're going to believe God for from Isaiah 61. What are they? Number one, yes. Loudly. Yes. Number two, I say prosperity next, but maybe I should switch it to promotion. How many of you said promotion? Is that? Shout promotion. And number three? Provision. Or he also used the word prosperity. So, church, now the enemy can come and steal that. You need to offer thanksgiving for the word and go back to that word and look at the scripture and let that word take root in your heart. Or you can be a forgetful hearer. Everyone say this with me. I do not want to be. Emphasize the word not. Let's say that again. I do not want to be a forgetful hearer. That means I heard, but half an hour later, 30 minutes later, I don't remember. What is that? A forgetful hearer. So, Father, I pray over each one of us in the name of Jesus that habitually forgetting what we heard will end this night. In the name of Jesus, we lift our hearts before you and we pray, Lord, have mercy on us and teach us and help us not to be forgetful hearers. We urgently petition you for this. And we thank you and ask that the Holy Spirit will circumcise our hearts, that we will not be forgetful hearers. In the name of Jesus. One of the reasons for being a forgetful hearer is having a crowded heart. And the word is just crowded in there with so many other things. And it doesn't have first place and final authority in our hearts. I'm telling you, church, I remember the days when I was first born again. And we would go to conventions. You had to get there early. And they had to position big old ushers, I mean big strong men, all throughout the auditorium. Because when the doors opened, people ran for the front seats. They ran for to get a good seat. We were so hungry for the word. We were so hungry for the word. We ran to hear the word. Do you know, I don't see that anymore. I don't really see that. But I tell you, life, light, and eternity are in the Word of God. Your victory is in the Word of God. The ability to overcome, it comes through the Word of God. Yeah. And so, love the Word of God, and you won't be such a forgetful hearer. Are you with me? And all of this is involved in the refining of the desires of our hearts. These are just some things that I think need to be said. And now let me say, after the Word has come, that something you can pray for and thank God for is that God has new opportunities for you. Anytime God releases His word in a manner like this, it's because He wants to push us forward into new opportunities. Lift your hands and say, God has new opportunities for me. Let's say that again. God has new opportunities for me. I'll be looking for them. I'll be expecting them. And I'll be thanking God for them in Jesus' name. So when the word comes and it's received with thanksgiving, new opportunities are presented to God's people. Be expecting that. Be thanking God for it. Just walk the floor and say, Father, I thank you that new opportunities are coming to me. You don't seem very excited about new opportunities. I don't know about you, but the fact that when God sends His word, He doesn't just send His word, but His supernatural power is released to bless His people, to increase His people, to enlarge His people. If you receive the word with thanksgiving and you have eyes to see, oh, God has sent us such a blessing. I do not take that for granted. Father, I'm so thankful for every blessing. And you attentively listen to the word. New opportunities will open up to you. New thinking will be given to you. Higher levels of thinking. Thinking in the realm of the Spirit. Thinking with God. You won't think as much like a flesh person. You will think more like a spiritual person who walks with God. And walks in favor and walks in blessing and walks in the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, new opportunities that God has created for you will manifest in your life in extraordinary ways. Wow. Extraordinary ways. Thank you, Lord, for your extraordinary ways. I'm just going to thank God all through this message that I've prepared. Father, we thank you for your extraordinary ways. We thank you. You are an extraordinary God, and your ways are extraordinary. And I thank you for your extraordinary ways manifesting in my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we want to open our hearts to the extraordinary. You know, it's real easy just to kind of get in a rut in life. And even you're really excited about the Word, you're excited about what's going on, but you don't have an expectation that God will confirm His Word with signs following. But the Bible says, I will confirm my word with signs following. In other words, God does not just release His word, but He doesn't act on behalf of those who hear His word. God acts on behalf of those who hear and receive and believe and allow faith to develop in their hearts. God will act on your behalf in extraordinary ways. Someone say, amen. Amen. May God open our hearts to this. Now let me just read a few phrases. So, let's open up our hearts. We've had a visitation from the Holy Spirit. Let's open up our hearts now for the Holy Spirit to work in us and perform His word in us, through us, and for us on our behalf. So I want us to declare, let me read this. We're in a season of new miracles. Let's declare that, church. Are you ready? Ready. We're in a season of new miracles. See, you have to have expectancy that God does not just send His word without acting. But He sent His word because He wants to act on our behalf. So, let's say that again. Let's say it this way. Father, we're thankful that we're in a season of new miracles in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And let's open our hearts to this when God sends His word. Church, expect and press in for personal transformation. When you've heard the word, don't expect to be the same. Welcome that word in your heart and say, Father, transform my heart. Only the word can transform your heart to walk in the miracles, the blessings, the goodness of God. So let's lift up our hands and say, Father, I thank you that your word has come to me, and I look forward to personal transformation. I will not remain the same. In Jesus' name. Now, church, you have to work with the Word and work with the Holy Spirit and work with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And then, when the Word comes, because God wants to bring forth transformation, He wants to bring forth new things, that tells me that barriers and obstacles that have been preventing us from moving forward will be removed. They will be removed. Oh, Pastor Carla, I've prayed before and nothing moved. Oh, Pastor Carla, I've tried and tried, but I can't seem to break barriers. You know, don't let a spirit of discouragement possess you. No, when the Word comes, God will work to remove barriers. If you will keep that Word in your heart, not be a forgetful hearer, and lift the Word up to Him with thanksgiving and the desire of your heart to move forward in God. God grants us the desires of our heart. He doesn't grant us when we're in hopelessness and despair and we're despondent and depressed. That's not when the Word of God is fulfilled. Do you understand me, church? But it is a walk of faith. So let's pray this prayer of barriers being torn down. Barriers. Oh, how we all need this. Barriers. Blockades that the enemy may have erected. We want to pray that these will be torn down and removed. So lift your hands up before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift the desires of my heart to you. I desire to make progress. I desire to go forward. And I pray in the name of Jesus that barriers, obstacles will be removed from my path, from my life, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it. Amen and amen. Barriers, obstacles being removed by the divine power of God. And then, you know, when the Word comes, what does the Bible say? He sent His Word and healed us. When the Word comes, there are areas of our lives that God wants to heal. Always understand that. On Wednesday night prayer, when the Word comes, God wants to release healing. Sunday, when the Word comes. In youth, when the Word comes. In children's church, when the Word comes. God always wants to heal His people. So let's lift our hands. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray because of your Word coming to me that you would heal me in my soul. Heal my soul, Father. In the name of Jesus, heal my body. Keep my body strong. In the name of Jesus, I welcome your Word to work in my life, in my soul, in my body. May my whole spirit, soul, and body be healed in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. May God grant us expectation every time the word comes. Now, I'm particularly referring to the meetings we just had, but every time the word comes, may God grant us expectation that his promises will be fulfilled in our lives at a new level of glory. Every time the word comes, every time you come to Wednesday prayer, every time you go to choir practice, every time we go to Sunday service, every youth meeting, every children's church meeting, every meeting, when the word comes, expect God to heal, repair, and restore you and your life. The word has come. Church, we need to lift our expectations. Don't forget, expectation is part of faith. If you come in and hear the word, and you leave with no sense of expectation, how do we express expectation? One of the main ways is we lift that word with thanksgiving. It may not be fulfilled presently in our lives, but we expect that God watches over his word to perform it in our lives as we lift our hearts of faith toward him. The word works by faith, not just because you've heard it, but it works by faith. And one of the ways we receive the word with faith is to offer thanksgiving for the word. Because in every word of God, there are miracles. In every word of God, there is goodness. In every word of God, there is healing and deliverance. In every word of God, there is prosperity. So faith is expectant that God will watch over that word to perform it. But you have to work the word. You can't just hear it and say, that was good, and then leave, and there's nothing else that you do with the word. And then you expect a great harvest from that word when you've not worked with the word, you've not watered the word, you've not prayed with thanksgiving over that word, you've not taken time to supplicate and release the desires of your heart over that word. You've not prayed in the spirit over that word. All of that is part of the word being manifested in our lives. Can you say amen? Isaiah, I want to give you this. I want every one of you to remember this. This is the desire of God. I found ye old King James to be the best, a very clear expression of God's will. Isaiah 43:19 in the King James says, now, church, you have to receive this. You have to hear it and receive it. It's not automatic. Behold, I will do a new thing. Everyone say new thing. Now, what that means is in our day and in our time, it will spring forth. Shall you not know it? In other words, church, is it going to spring forth for you? Are you going to know it? Are you going to experience it? It's not automatic. It's not automatic. Shall you or ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In other words, it doesn't matter how impossible it looks that I could perform this promise on your behalf. It doesn't even matter if it's a wilderness that you're in. I will watch over my word to perform it. So I want to ask you, church, are you going to experience the word? It's not just up to God, it's up to you too. Oh, it just struck me as I was preparing this, how often we hear the word and walk away, and we don't receive the word and work with it in prayers of thanksgiving and prayers of supplication and petition. We hear it, it kind of goes in one ear and out the other, and we don't see the fruit of the word being performed. Are you going to trust God that He makes a way where there seems to be no way? Yes. You may be facing what look to be impossibilities, but God says, I think this is very wonderful. I will even make a way in the wilderness. What He's saying is, you know, all of us have to look at it. If I was in the United States, I would say, even in the U.S., but we're in Kenya, so we're going to say, even in Kenya, He will perform His word. Yes. See, you have to look at it that way. In my present position, where I am, where I live, God will perform His word. Develop that sense of expectation. In other words, God is saying, can I cause rivers to flow in the desert? Well, if He's done it once, He'll do it again. Anytime God's done something one time, He reveals His will. And He will do it over and over. If He's ever healed, it's His will to heal. So you don't have to question if it's His will to heal you. If He's ever blessed an individual, it's His will to bless you. You don't have to question if it's His will to bless you. It is His will to bless you. If He's ever delivered anyone, it's His will to deliver you. Amen. Church, I wrote this down. Let me read this. If He's done it once, He'll do it again among us. This means God will make a way where there seems to be no way. I wrote this down. This came up in my heart. He will open the ancient paths to you where there seems to be no way. He'll begin to order your footsteps for His word to be fulfilled in your life. He will create streams of prosperity where there has only been wasteland and wilderness. So, church, God is preparing us to enter new cycles. You know, we're approaching the fall feasts where we will enter 5785 and we'll go through the festival of the Feast of Tabernacles, and we come into the Jewish New Year, and then in January, it'll be 2025, we will enter 5785, the Jewish year. And God will create new cycles of prosperity for us. He wants to do new things in the coming year. And He'll create new streams of prosperity. I want you to lift your hands right where you're seated and say, Father, I thank You that You will create in my life and You will create in the life of my family new streams of prosperity, new streams of blessing. Father, I believe it. I receive it with much thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. Say amen. So when you enter a new cycle, and I could just tell these meetings we had, they're part of a new cycle that is coming forth. And so prepare yourself for the unexpected. Expect the extraordinary. Allow God to position you for growth and change. We all need to change. We're not perfect yet. I'm not perfect. I know it's hard to believe. Pastor Davies isn't perfect. None of us are perfect. God, we're preparing to enter a new cycle that God has prepared for. He's going to send His word. He wants us to prepare to change and to make prosperous decisions and to come in to new cycles of growth where we grow spiritually. If you're an adult, you're not going to grow physically, but some of the children here are going to grow physically. Hallelujah. But prepare for growth. See, growth is not automatic in the spirit. You prepare for growth. You begin to pray for growth. You express the desires of your heart for more of God. You express a desire, Father, I want to grow in the spirit. I want, in this new year that is before us, I want to grow in the word. I'm hungry for more knowledge of the Word. There are things I don't understand yet, but I desire to understand them, Father. I want to grow in the understanding of Your Word. I want to grow in prosperity. I want to grow in favor. See, you begin to just express the desires of your heart. I want to bear more fruit. I want to do more in the kingdom of God. You work with the Word and with God as He prepares you. You don't just step into a new cycle of prosperity. You must be prepared by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So, call that which is unfruitful, fruitful. Begin to look at unfruitful areas and begin to say, this area of my life that is unfruitful, by faith, I call it fruitful. You work with the Word of God. You work with your confession. Church, you'll never go anywhere you're not believing to go and confessing to go. You do not grow without the Word. You do not grow without yielding your heart and your mouth to the Word of God. You can pray and pray and pray, but God has to refine our hearts and He has to refine our language to agree with His Word. When we agree with God, our lives begin to change. Hallelujah. So call that which is unfruitful, fruitful. Call that which is dormant or asleep in your life, not bearing fruit. Command it, come to life in the name of Jesus. You may not be doing well in school, for example, but we know it's the will of God for you to do well in school. So just speak to your inner man and say, inner man, you are dormant. It's like you're asleep. I call you to come awake. I will understand my lessons. I will understand what I read. I will understand my teachers in the name of Jesus. So lift your hands right where you're seated. Father, in the name of Jesus, I call dormant areas of my life to come awake and alive in the name of Jesus. I call unfruitful areas of my life to begin bearing fruit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And then allow the Lord to position you for growth and change. That means there may be some adjustments you need to make in your life. You may be wasting time, or what you're doing may not be bearing fruit. Ask the Lord, position me for growth and change. Position me to become more fruitful.
Thank you, Pastor Carl. Thank you. Have you noticed in all that Pastor Carl has spoken, actually, is directing us to the Word? She started talking about refining of our desires. Of course, she began with thanksgiving, but the refining of our desires is still going to the Word of God. Everything, actually. I looked at everything that she said, and I said, we're being pointed to the Word. In other words, that we must expect what is in the Word to be alive in our hearts. Whatever it is, whatever the situation you may be dealing with, or I may be dealing with, we must think of the Word, allowing the Word of God to be the center of everything. So what does it mean? Like what she just said there, the Word has to be and has to remain our priority. We look for the Word. We look for Him leading and guiding us through His Word. It has to be a priority. Whatever it is that we are dealing with, it has to be a priority. And let me write some things. I like writing notes. I listen to a minister when they're speaking. I hear what they are saying. Then I like writing thoughts that are being provoked by what that person is saying. Okay? Can I read to you some of the thoughts, one or two? But listen to this, something that she said and provoked some thoughts in my heart. Thanksgiving safeguards what I have received from the Lord. It safeguards. I've capitalized that word, safeguarding. Or I can still use preserves what I have received from the Lord. When I start lifting up thanksgiving, I'm safeguarding what I have received from the Lord and I'm preserving it. And thankfulness opens the door for the devil to steal what I have received from him. You see what I'm saying? So then that part of safeguarding, that's part of thanksgiving. And then there's something that she said in the beginning, then we have to be intentionally laying hold of the Word of God. It doesn't, of course, I don't believe in this theory, because it doesn't exist, being Big Bang theory. It doesn't just, boom, then it's come to you, then promises of God are coming to pass in yours and my life, but we must be intentional. I've received that. The next thing, which she said it, and I couldn't tell the emphasis on it. The next thing is this, I meditate on what I've received. Because it won't be formed and be part of me if I don't meditate on it. To become part of me, and I like saying it in this manner, until the Word becomes flesh in my life. You understand? It becomes part of me. That's the thing. It becomes, you know, I'm saying that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So it's become part of me in what I do. But that takes what? Meditating on the will of God. And then, these are my thoughts. When something you say, The word is an opportunity or opportunity creator. When it's spoken, it creates opportunities. There are things that have been released, like what she spoke about, the seasons of new miracles. When the season of new miracles, that those things had been released upon our lives. Amen? And I think I did good. So why don't you rise up on your feet? Let's lift up thanksgiving. Whether with understanding or in the spirit, we've made several, actually, petitions and supplications to the Lord. She's led us in different ones. But let's lift up thanksgiving together. And in what you've had this evening, Father, let's lift our hands to Him. We are thankful to You, Father, for Your word. You sent Your word and healed us and delivered from all our distractions. And even, Father, concerning these 10 or 11 days that are past, we lift up thanksgiving and praise. We lift up thanksgiving for Your word, for the utterances by Your spirit, for Your will that has been dispersed or released upon us. We lift up thanksgiving and we safeguard, preserve what you have received with much thanksgiving, with much praise, proclaiming your goodness, Father. Proclaiming your goodness because you sent your word for a purpose. Thank you for supernatural growth. Thank you for seasons of miracles, new miracles, that which eye has not seen, nor has it entered into the heart of man. Ears had not entered into the heart of man. The things that you have prepared for those who love you, but you have revealed them to us by your Spirit. So, Father, we receive with thanksgiving everything you did in VBS, everything you did in youth meetings, everything you did in LEAD, everything you've done, Father, in these days that this team has been here. We seal it with thanksgiving. We safeguard it by lifting up thanksgiving and praise to you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Engenda marashteba. Yenginginda mandasa. Ah, mande, samangole se. Keda mangele, samandayanda. Mo. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for more. More. The capacity to receive more from you, Father. Enlarging our desires to receive more. To enlarge our capacities. Enlarge our desires for the kingdom of God. Enlarging our desires, Father, to do more. To be fruitful. To rise up to higher levels of thinking. Higher levels of operations. Higher levels of excellence. In the things that you've never walked in before, Father. Father, we thank you and we lay hold of opportunities that you have released upon us. Opportunities for growth. We speak that growth. We speak those changes in our lives, Father. Changes in our lives. Barriers removed. Barriers removed. You said you'll go before us and make crooked places straight. We say in the name of Jesus, your word has gone forth and it has made crooked places straight in our lives. Crooked places straight in this ministry. In the name of Jesus. Divine changes. Divine positioning. Divine promotion. Divine presence of God. Be released in our midst, Father. Upon our children. Upon our youths. Upon men and women. Upon our services, we declare that, Father. Upon our services, more presence of God. More levels of operation, Father. The greatness of your presence being released upon us. And Father, we are so thankful. So thankful again for every single thing that you did in these meetings. We return to you to give you glory, to give you praise, to give you much, much glory, Father. the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
For when you first begin to walk in a thing, it is unusual to you. It is not your usual way of walking or experiencing my kingdom, but it is unusual to you. But the unusual becomes usual as you walk in it. But I long to take you into the unusual. I long to take you into that which is not the usual, and to continue to reveal to you my unusual ways, which are not the ways of this world. And so ask me for the unusual, says your Father, and surely I will lead you forward, and you will not be stagnant and trapped in what has become usual, but I will continually break forth my unusual in your life as you press in for more and more, says the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that actually is moving from glory to glory. One glory to another glory. And God wants us to get into that and move into that. Glory to glory. Hallelujah. I like that. It's the unusual being revealed, and then it becomes the usual. But then we don't stay there. I see like that's one level of glory. Then we press more for the unusual. And then we start walking on it, and it becomes the usual. But we are not, we're being changed. We want again the unusual, and it's one level. Wish I had a whiteboard. We keep going, we keep going, we keep going, and we keep growing. Praise God. Hallelujah.